The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. We're certainly going to be covering more of the news on the stock market sell-off. There is definitely a hissy fit going on in the markets today. Some of my stuff's actually going up. I was just looking at my baby 401k, but yeah, it was all the fear trade stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit later on here, but yay. Some things we just can't necessarily control, but we'll kick it around for sure. John Richardson is joining me because we're going to look at another aspect of Trump administration policy, which I find just intriguing, and that is the Make America Healthy Again mantra that you're hearing a lot from RFK Jr., of course, is now running a lot of the health mechanisms, as it were. Now, John, you're the founder of Operation World Without Cancer and Richardson Nutritional Center, right? Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind, first off. Huh?
Yeah, RNC store for years. My dad treated patients with natural answers to we call it the C word on sometimes on radio, but mm-hmm. they're not censored as much, so we'll just call it cancer. They did that from the 70s, and so we just have a website that offers products that he proved were successful. But we started Operation World Without Cancer primarily because there's more than one silver bullet to cancer. There's a lot of natural things that work, and there's a lot of proven natural things that work. So we just started to take it away from just like product based to more like concept based. The fact that we know that cancer is a deficiency disease. And so we've been telling that message for, you know, years, but just recently with, you know, Trump and RFK getting together, people are more willing to hear it. So people are more willing to take a second look at allopathic medicine's horrible success rate. I don't even like to call it a success rate. Their horrible failure rate. And there's thousands of doctors across the country and thousands of programs that are having tremendous success with cancer. And we want to bring all those things to light. And so I'm constantly talking to docs and people with a good history and things like that. And that's what Operation World Without Cancer is about. But,
you know, John, it's interesting that even some of the allopathic medicines, now allopathic, those are conventional medicines. Is that the way to define that?
Allopathic, maybe oil based. A lot of people consider it.
But it's funny how even because of politics. Even during COVID, a lot of things were repressed during then of even, you know, standard medications that could have been helping people during pretty bad times, and it was repressed because of the politics and the politicized science and everything else. And now you have Joe Rogan even talking about, what was it, ivermectin and fenbendazole, I think it was, on cancer, another alternative cancer treatment. But, you know, try to get your doctor to pay attention to it, though, right? That kind of challenge.
Yeah, it's just interesting because you when you take a bird's eye view of the whole thing, you notice that it's really about money. It's not really about how healthy they make us. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to say that we have a sick care system in the U.S. We have the worst sicker system. I mean, we have 4% of the world's population, but 16% of the COVID deaths. How does that make sense? That's four times the rate of everywhere else in the country. And we're supposed to be the cutting edge of medicine and technology because we have so many other issues that are chronic disease issues. And that's what RFK is really bringing to the forefront right now with MAHA, is really that our food is poison. That's really it.
How then do you envision the food system after an RFK Jr. Gets done with it? And I'm hearing some good, and I'm hearing some not so good things about there. There's talk about redesigning the food pyramid, which, by the way, was designed by, if I recall correctly, Midwestern grain farmers ended up designing. In all seriousness, back in the day, the grain farmers wanted the nice market for their products, and so they essentially get the federal government to design a food pyramid with grains at the top of it, right? That kind of thing.
That's exactly it. It hasn't been redesigned since I think 2011 or 2014. But I have two personal friends on the council that's redesigning the food pyramid, and these friends, one is, her name is Leanna Warner Gray. She wrote the book Cancer Free with Food. And the other is Sherry Kalbun. She's called the Juice Lady. And these women have been fighting the battle about health and nutrition for years. And so we're actual friends. We're dear friends. And so I know that this new pyramid is going to come out of this council. I think there's about 22 people on it that, by the way, RFK contacted within 2 hours of being confirmed. this council's redesigning the food pyramid. So it's going to be a real food pyramid without the effects of big food or big pharma telling them, you know, buying their way up the levels of the food pyramid. That's how it's been in the past. It's just been a way to do that. So, but I wanted to mention a couple of huge things. We got out of the WHO on day one. And I knew that before President Trump was going to be elected. I was told by the RFK team that we're going to get out of the WHO, and we got out of it day one. But, yep. But what people don't know, it was replaced by the Global Wellness Forum.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Wait a minute. That sounds like I'm replacing a gut shot with a headshot. What's going on with that?
I know. It does, because the word global. I don't really like the word global myself, because it makes it sound like, you know, but it's the Global Wellness Forum. You can look it up right now, globalwellnessforum.org. But here's the great thing. I've been fighting this battle for 30 years from the nutritional side, from, I would say, I'm not going to say anti-Big Pharma, but at least, you know, alternatives to Big Pharma, that's not the answer mm-hmm. every time. And so I've just found out this last week that I was put on the Cancer Care Innovation Council on the Global Wellness Forum. So I'm surrounded by people I know. People that I've been fighting this battle with for years. So I know we're winning this battle. Although if you pay attention to the big media, you're hearing negative and positive. I know great things are happening. So all the things that RFK is doing are real. They're really happening. But let's give him a little bit of consideration that he's only been head of HHS for, less than a month?
Yeah. You could say that about a lot of things going on. Now, if you have been tasked then with bringing alternatives on cancer treatment, now, if I recall correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, your father was a person who was working on with Laetril back in the 70s.
Right.
And of course,
yeah.
Because Laetril was not a very profitable kind of way, it appears that dad was crushed, right? You know, by the establishment back in the day.
Yes, he was arrested. His office was raided 8 times. He was sued 4 times. They took away his license. But now, just in the last week, they came out with another study about Laetril being effective against breast cancer. So the studies are coming out now. The truth is coming out. And the powers that be, the old powers that be, can't squish it and crush it anymore. So, you know, that's the big great news I bring to you today. And
that is a positive development. That is truly positive, because the whole idea, the scientific method, means that as crazy as something is, as may sound to something, all right, we're going to take something from apricot pits, I think is what. Isn't that what it was? Apricot,
right.
Or peach pit, peach apricot, pits? Or
apricot seeds, all seeds.
Yeah.
All seeds, 1,200 different foods. But yes, we're going to take something from the apricot seeds. And wow, it works against preventing a disease. That's what this new movement that RFK is heading is showing, that the food that we eat affects our health. We haven't necessarily believed that as Americans. We think, oh, there's something wrong with me. I got to go to the doctor and get a drug that's going to fix me. And it doesn't work. It hasn't worked in 50 years. It's very profitable, because if you keep people sick, they're profitable. The system doesn't like you to get out of the system. And I've talked to so many amazing MDs that have woken up to this over the last, you know, several years, especially over the last 5 years. But they've woken up to the fact that it's just like a light's gone on, that, wait a minute, if I heal somebody, the medical system, the MIC as it's known, doesn't like it, because if they're out of the system, they're no longer a money-making machine.
Well, how many times do you ever do you see a pharmaceutical drug advertisement on television, and you hear about this, and it's like, we will help you control, and it's always control your blah, 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 whatever it is. And it's never we will help you cure your blah, 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 blah. It's always, we will help you control, because then you end up finding out, it is a lifetime on the treadmill of buying this particular drug rather than looking for something which would actually cure what is ailing you instead.
Yeah, well, because the truth here is that it's really based on your body's nutrition, on your immune system. And it's really, if you break it down and make it simple for your audience, 95% of the diseases we walk around with are immune deficiency diseases or food problem diseases or not eating the proper food. It's that simple. It's hard to believe, because we've been brainwashed for 50 years, but this new administration is saying we're going to make us healthier just by bringing the quality of our food up. Stop allowing 4,000 chemicals to be in our food, whereas in Europe, There's only 400 chemicals allowed to be in your food.
I wanted to ask you, what are some of the ones under the RFK microscope? I've heard about them. Some of them have been like red dyes and various other things. But if you're saying that there are 4,000 food additives allowed in the United States, 400 in Europe, and I'll talk to people who move to Italy as an example, start eating the diet, and you know, you eat pasta in Italy and you lose weight. You eat pasta in the United States and you get to be a fat tub. You know,
right. Here's a simple thing. I mean, some of the specific chemicals, I don't have a list in front of me, yeah. But let me just put it this way. My son and his future wife just started making bread at home, and they were blown away that they make bread, and it's four ingredients to make delicious sourdough bread at home. They can make four ingredients, but if they go to the local, healthy grocery store, there's 30 ingredients in the bread.
Yeah, and you're reading all of this. There's bromine, that, and potassium sulfate, this, and all that. Yeah. Now, part of that is always making it softer and keeping shelf life, though. We got to be fair about that.
Well,
right?
No, we don't. We actually shouldn't be fair, because that's if we're worried about shelf life, then let's get our food made fresher. Let's get it done, because shelf life for that food that makes it preserved so animals don't even want to eat it or insects don't want to eat it, then why are we eating it? Let's be real. Why are we eating food that's chock full of chemicals to preserve it, and it goes in our system and then it increases our rate of disease?
Now, let me ask you a serious question about this. Could you see ultimately a changing of the food culture in the United States so that we become a little more European, even in our relationship to food? I'm not talking about the chemicals necessarily, but you go to Europe a lot of times. You go to France, especially, things like that. People go to a market on a daily basis or every other day. You know, it's not about where you're going to go to Costco and load up on everything, in the processed food aisle and put it in your freezer and then consider yourself, hey, I've done my job. Just curious, what do you think is the long term look at this? You know,
you're it's like we rehearsed this ahead of time, because we didn't, but absolutely, that's what I see as a sea change in how we get our food and how we shop. And farmers markets are becoming hugely popular, and companies like there's a company up in the Pacific Northwest known as Azure Standard, who I know the CEO very well, who's developed a whole system of delivering organic food right to a parking lot near you, where you can go over and get it, where it's not full of chemicals, keeping it, self-stable. And, there's studies about how when you cut a vegetable, you harvest a vegetable, 2 weeks later, there's new nutritional value left in it. Our food system in America, although I get it, it was made to make money and to get food to all these different things. Our food system is broken. And that's what RFK says is easy to fix. And there's people out there doing it right now. It's not complicated. It's just that it's not as profitable to these big mega companies and these big pharmaceuticals and these big food companies that are billions of dollars. And all they care about is getting the product to the table as cheaply as possible, making as much money as possible.
Okay, let me ask you this. Now, this is an economic question that may not, some that I've been reading have been saying that even what's happening in the stock market right now is about a controlled demolition of the existing financial order in order to rebuild on a better, economically more healthy footing. All right.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility? And this is kind of where my weird warped mind ends up going. Could this be about a demolition of even industrial foods control? And if they end up not having high-flying stock values, and of course there could be a danger on the other side of this too. I'm just speculating. I'm just spitballing here with you, John. All right?
Yeah, no, and this goes back to my dad's good friend, G. Edward Griffin, who wrote Creature from Jekyll Island,
controlled
the monetary system. We're hearing about all these things. And unfortunately, I'm not an expert in that field.
Okay.
But I am going to tell you that it's all related. Let's just put it that way. So if you see something going on over here, it's related over here. And the control network, the powers that be that have controlled us from an evil position, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist talking about this, but the powers that be that have controlled us have controlled our financial system, our medical system, our educational system, our media system. All of these things, you're watching them crumble. You are more popular than CNN. You have a better audience than CNN. So,
well, it's certainly a smarter audience. I'll give them that.
Well,
but
absolutely. I mean, it is true. The CNN audience is non-existent. I don't know who anybody that watched it less to laugh at it. But I mean, all of the mass media, no one cares anymore. No one gets their news from that anymore. And the general people that walk around, the kind of zombies that don't know, that haven't woken up to all this that's going on, are going to be in for a rude awakening. They're going to have to figure out getting the truth instead of being lied to. So, yes, the financial system is, I'm seeing it being the same type of thing that's going on. That is happening in the food business. But we're going back to making America great again by making America healthy. And that's my expertise. I've watched it happen. And I'm here to tell your audience, it's all good news. Don't believe the lies and the negative. Don't believe that RFK's been captured. Don't believe that he's...
Yeah, because that's what I was reading, that I was a little concerned. That's why I invited you on, because I was reading some stories that RFK captured by the dark side, so to speak, that the that we were going to be looking at a I think what was the that we were not going to be in favor of butter, as an example. And I couldn't.
Yeah, that's the powers that be trying to manipulate us to keep us fighting inside. We should be supporting RFK Jr. wholeheartedly. We should be supporting him. We should be doing everything we can, because think about what would have happened if Kamala Harris and her and the other guy, I can't even remember his name now, he's so distant in my memory.
Fauci.
If they were in power right now, what would we be going through? Would we be talking about any of this good news? Would I be on some council replacing the WHO? No. None of this good news that's happening, none of this food discussions of food poisons and colorings and children's diabetes rates and obesity rates and the truth about vaccines and all of these wonderful things that are coming to the forefront.
Yeah, John, the bottom line is it's not right to have a 11-year-old at 200 pounds and considered, he's just a little bit fluffy in the government school system.
That's what we've been doing. That's what we've been doing for the last 30 years. I mean, we've been accepting childhood disease like it's okay because it's profitable. The most profitable thing in the United States is a sick child. That's 100% a fact.
All right. John, I appreciate you sharing a few thoughts on this. So don't worry, RFK Jr. is going to be okay. And
don't worry, support him. Matter of fact, the opposite. Be celebrating.
All right.
Celebrating and help and support him.
I will guardedly be optimistic because, like I said, I was reading some stuff that kind of made me say, uh-oh. But we'll see. All right. OperationWorldWithoutCancer.com. You can find out more about John Richardson and also RNCStore.com. RNCStore.com. Supplements, things like that. That's what you sell there, right?
Yep, absolutely. Answers to disease.
All right. Very good. Happy to have you on, John. Thank you. Be well.
Thank you, my friend. All right. God bless.
God bless you. We all need the blessings these days. 731 KMED.
VM Auto Works is Southern Oregon's trusted Volkswagen and
Auto Works and Wash Buggy Wrap Lab.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We will have some open phone Conspiracy Theory Thursday time. I'm going to talk with Holly Morton again from Joe County, because I just briefly spoke with her, and I just wanted to get a little more time to flesh out the homelessness conversation at Grants Pass City Council yesterday, kind of a on-the-ground report of what happened there, because they're working on a plan. I want to let people know about this, okay? Now then, this conversation I had with both Gregory Wrightstone about the EPA and the climate change deal in the Trump administration, and then the Trump administration with Make America Healthy Again. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And yeah, we will get to the tariffs issue. Ken Raposa will be joining me. He's a pretty big financial reporter. We'll talk about that more in depth at 8:10. But I'm looking here at a story in OPB. Good story, though. It says, Oregon updates hazardous substances list to include harmful forever chemicals. This has been something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of years or so and looking into it. And it's getting its first update in 20 years because they're going to add six forever chemicals known to be not so good for human health. DEQ announcing Tuesday it would add six perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS. You know, when you see that term PFAS in the news, to the list of more than 800 regulated contamination, contaminants. I always kind of stumble over that word. My apologies there. But they're going to be working to go on that. Now, this is the issue with PFAS. PFAS have been in all sorts of stuff. Flame retardants, nonstick cookware, waterproof clothing doesn't break down. And what's been happening is that it's been leaching into rivers and streams, soil, water, even air. Now, I don't know if you were listening a couple of years ago when I first brought this up. There was a bunch of farm fields out on the East Coast, and it didn't get a lot of play at that time. But there were farm fields that had been fertilized with sewage sludge. Unbeknownst to them at that time, the sewage sludge had high concentrations of these PFAS that they now know are really bad for human health. They don't break down in the environment very easily. It takes a long time. The Teflons of the world, you know, the kind of Teflon sort of things, Teflons and plasticky, microplasticky kind of Teflon bits. And it was all throughout the sewage sludge because it was in the environment and then spread over the farm fields. And that these farm fields ended up essentially being worthless because of the PFAS contamination. And I find it interesting that the DEQ has now added PFAS to the list. The reason being, 2 years ago when I was reading about those farm fields back in the East Coast, I recalled back when I was a DJ on this very same station when it was KZZE back in the late 1990s, we were joking around and we used to do comedy bits about the effluent in Ashland being spread on some fields in Southern Oregon. We were doing I did a comedy bit. We would interview this guy, called himself Pompous Ashley from Ashland. And he would be, and yes, as a matter of fact, we do have the effluent and we are spreading the effluent. This was in the late 1990s, okay? Late 1990s. We were spreading the effluent on the fields around us and we were going to bottle it and sell it to the tourists in the shops down in the plaza. We were having fun with this and tee-heeing it. But seriously, remember, there was a time that they were taking sewage sludge from the Ashland treatment. Now, that effluent, as we termed it with Pompous Ashley, was being spread on the fields, on this plot down there. And I remember this, and so I wrote the DEQ twice a couple of years ago. Kind of let go of it because there's only so many times I can keep bugging them. I said, hey, are you guys keeping track of PFAS and where these went? Because I sent them the story about what's going on over in the East Coast. This is a bad thing. And we were spreading this on some farm fields here in Southern Oregon. I think there were some other farm fields that this was done, if I recall correctly, out in Sam's Valley area. Now, I'm just spitballing off of that one. I almost have to do a little more research, but I'm just doing this from memory right now. As I see, now the DEQ is looking at, oh, we're going to look at PFAS. Gosh, I was trying to get them to answer. The DEQ would never respond to me. Never responded to me. And they later, well, it's because of COVID and remote work and yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I think it's because the DEQ was probably tasked with being more concerned about carbon dioxide, which is not a pollutant, rather than taking a look at PFAS, which really are. Something to keep in mind. We'll stay on that story, but interesting that the DEQ coming a little late to the party, but coming to the party nonetheless. This is the Bill Myers Show.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. .com.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
7:42. Last hour, I ended up speaking briefly a minute or two with Holly Morton, who was at yesterday's Grants Pass City Council meeting. They were talking a lot about a homelessness plan. And given that no other city in Southern Oregon has been under the gun and attacked more by the progressive, oh, housing first, don't worry about the drug addiction and crime kind of policy. No one has been attacked more than the city of Grants Pass, given the Supreme Court attention and all the rest of it, okay? So, Holly, could you bring us up to date on what happened last night and what the plan appears to be that Clint Scherf and the other folks in the Grants Pass City Council are working on? What do you say?
Well, it looks like what they're trying to do is acquire an 8-acre parcel of land that would have programs on it where there's true accountability for the homeless. In other words, they're not just going to be on the land and people are bringing in pizzas and soup and clothes and all that kind of thing.
Does that happen right now in the current homelessness camps?
Sure, absolutely. People bring them food all the time. And the other day I saw Max with a mission, whatever that's called, and they were passing out Narcan packets of some sort.
You know, nothing says the pursuit of happiness more than having an NGO delivering your drug addiction recovery kit, right?
Jeez. Right. So, looks like what may happen is that U-Turn for Christ, which is a very solid outfit, will be coordinating the efforts of all the NGOs. So you can't, you know, they're not going to exclude, I don't believe, but the NGOs can apply to provide services so long as they conform, I imagine, with an overall project of accountability. And I think also some metrics to evaluate, you know, the effectiveness of it, which has all been absent in the past. I mean, we send our money up to Salem, our tax money, they send it back down to the NGOs. The NGOs do exactly what we don't want. And so now, but yet U-Turn for Crisis is a publicly funded, it's not privately funded. It's not a publicly funded. So they're not an NGO per se.
All right. Now, here's the thing. U-Turn for Christ, though, I'm just wondering if it's an accountability camp, like a separate camp from the camps that have been talked about right now. I just want to make sure I understand this. I'm a little confused. Sorry.
Well, I'm going to be meeting with them to make sure I drill down a little bit more. But basically, a person cannot come in. They can come in. They're still going to call it low barrier in the sense that a person can get into the program when they're using drugs, but they only have about 10 days, I believe, something like that, to get off drugs and start working toward a sustainable lifestyle.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're on drugs. There's a problem. You know you have a problem. You recognize it's a problem. You want a place to stay. But you'll have a week and a half or so to start getting off it, in other words. This is what this
right.
means. Okay.
Accountability.
All right. Now, you see, ultimately, that would be, you know, if it ends up working out pretty well, that would be very kind to the homeless because hopefully we could get more homeless to the point where they'd be able to rejoin the standard family of man and go out and get a job, be productive, and live a better life than they're living on the streets right now. That'd be great.
Right. And U-Turn for Christ. Now, some of the objections, of course, you can imagine. Some people think, oh, gosh, if we have a facility where we're letting people come in, they're going to come from all over the place, and pretty soon we're going to have thousands and thousands of people.
Oh.
But if they're accountable people and they're having to get their life together rather than just going from bad to worse, because drug addiction is a problem that just gets worse and worse and worse. And it's affecting the community in so many different ways. I mean, all the businesses, three businesses on our street have put up going out of business signs in the last week.
Can you connect it directly with what's been going on with the homeless crisis in Joe County?
I believe it's true because what happens is people don't want to go downtown and shop because it's kind of scary. You've got all these people hanging out. That even if they are not terrible people, they look kind of scary and they behave in ways that frighten people.
You know, that actually makes a very good point. City of Medford struggles with such things, too. You know, they've tried to throw everything they can at it. Oh, we're going to road diet it. We're going to traffic calm. We're going to put in, bike lanes, which generally seem to be used by the homelessness. And then why aren't people coming down here? Oh, now we need to spend $10 million to put trees on Main Street or something, you know.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, in other words, you're looking at trying to look at this as more of a systemic issue here. If people don't feel safe and don't feel like hanging out amongst the addicted and the unwashed, let's say, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to paint with a broad brush. They're not bad people. They're just in a bad situation, you know, in a bad way. And
there are lots of different kinds of people, Bill. That's the problem. They keep wanting to treat everybody the same.
And some are bad people, and some bad people, they need to be called out of it or dealt with separately, you know, maybe in the criminal justice. I don't know.
They need a different program. Elderly people who have fallen on hard times, maybe lost a spouse, don't have the income they used to have, That's one group. Mothers with children is another group. They're all
sure. Yeah. You don't want to put the moms with children on the streets there and mix them up with the hardcore drug addicts, do you?
No. Well, that's been my objection all along. You know, and that Parker Street project downtown, there's just no way. That is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I hated everything about that project. It was right across the street from the park. So the minute they get up in the morning, they're over there at the park again. And that isn't healthy. And they're not required to stop using drugs. It's a low barrier shelter, which they call a wet shelter.
And okay. And once again, this proposal with U-Turn for Christ is where would that be located again? What part of town?
It's north of town slightly, up on Vine Street.
Vine Street, okay.
A long, wide property that faces the freeway.
Okay.
So a whole great part of it, you know, is right along the side of the freeway, which is a good place, I think. You know, the police are saying, oh, gosh, but they could get out there and get hit by a car. Well, if they're not using drugs, they're probably going to be less likely to get out and get hit by a car than, you know, and they're...
Yeah, well, this idea that because a homeless person might decide to stupidly run across I-5... Okay, you know, it is not the reason to not put them there. It'd be, oh, well, much better to put it in the main downtown business section, right? You know, it's like, what?
Well, some people are saying, oh, let's just have a bunch of little ones all over town, a bunch of little homeless camps. Well, that really doesn't solve the problem. You know, it basically creates an eyesore all over the place. You know, our grandkids live on a street where there's a park a block down or so. And there's tents all over that. It scares the wits out of me.
Of course it does. Now, the other aspect of this, though, is where does the drug treatment come from, though? Where is that going to come from? Do we know? Is that like through state funding, NGO of some sort? What?
Lots of NGOs, but U-Turn for Christ is a drug program.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is itself a drug program, and it's a very successful drug program.
All right. Now, see, of all this time I've been talking with people about U-Turn for Christ, I didn't understand that. Thank you for letting me know, okay?
No, that's the basis for it. And what they do, I think the other thing that seems to be an objection is, oh my goodness, heaven help somebody if they would have a higher power, you know, like God in some way to help them get through these tough times.
Yes, if you go to a homeless person and you mention Jesus, he will explode in flames from the exposure, I guess.
Right. Well, the objections are, oh, we can't have dogs. Well, this is going to allow people to keep their pets, probably keep families together. They don't may not have to separate the men from the women in a familial situation.
I'm glad that is part of it, because I have to tell you, I understand why homeless people who find themselves in that kind of a situation, have their dog. And it's not just companionship. A lot of times it's security on the street, and we have to recognize that and meet people where they are sometimes, Holly. Okay?
Absolutely right. There are people who know a lot more about this than I do, and I'm gonna have them contact you, because I think I would love to see people like Julie Thomas from PATH. She's great. Have her explanation. And Jeremy from U-Turn from Christ. These people, once they get on, Jeremy's going to be at our Patriots meeting on Saturday at 10 o'clock. People can come in and talk to him about the program and ask him and find out a lot of details. And I may call Julie and see if she wants to come into that, too. It's going to be an all-star group at that meeting on Saturday.
Yeah, 10 to noon at Josephine County Republican Party headquarters. And of course, every time you talk about this, though, I'm going to say, hang out there until the Antifa protesters are done at noon. They're all doing this around the country on Saturday, okay?
We'll see how they do. They're such disappointing people.
Well, of course they are. But, you know, let's not be stupid and say, well, okay, well, Antifa's gone. We're going to go home. It's like, no, I would not let Indivisible dictate what happens to your headquarters. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Holly. Thanks for the update. Now we had a little more of a flesh out of what happened at that Grants Pass City Council meeting from yesterday. Thanks so much, Holly. It is 7:52, a little open phone time here on, I was going to say Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. No, we're already in Conspiracy Theory Thursday. All right, 770-563-3770-KMED. We'll also be talking more about the tariffs. Ken Raposa will join me, big financial reporter. We're going to do a deep drill into this. Markets aren't happy, but I don't know. Maybe the markets need to be made not happy for a while to get needed change. What do you think?
At Father and Son Jewelry, we now have Lashberg Designs. They've revolutionized.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
By the way, before we take off, there will be a Diner 62 Real American Quiz sometime between probably 8:30 and 9, all right? That's always fun, along with emails of the day. 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, the question is going to be about Microsoft, all right? So we're going to be talking about one of the great American companies founded on this day. All right? All right. We have Doug in Rogue River. Hello, Doug. What's on your mind this morning, huh?
Morning, Bill. I understand a kind of an offside comment about that Judge Boasberg, when he wants to turn planes around with terrorists in them, ask him if he has a spare bedroom or whatever he can take a few in.
You know, it is astounding that we've come to this point that you get several hundred federal judges who have decided that somehow, and by the way, there's nothing in statutory, nothing in black letter law that says that a judge has the authority to make a statement like this or make a ruling that does everything that covers the entire country, like Boasberg and all the rest of them do.
Yeah. Something that needs to be clarified, and Congress can do it if they'll just get off their butts and do it.
Yeah.
My main thing is I listen to you. I really respect you. But the last time we spoke, we agreed to disagree about President Trump. And
okay.
I made a statement, and I understood where you were coming from, but that there really was nobody else we could hang our hat on to give us a chance to turn this thing around, the country. And I think he's proving, and if he'd have some help, I think he's proving my point.
Hmm. Well, he is certainly grabbing big authority. I think that is certainly one way to look at this, because no one has probably done more action. Whether it will have its intended effect, I'm guardedly optimistic, but I'm kind of taking a sit and wait time, because, well, even when it comes to these big beautiful tariffs, as an example, I've never really seen much good that comes from increasing taxes on American people. And that's what import taxes do. And anybody who tries to tell you differently is expressing nonsense, okay? You know, let's just be honest.
Unless as a negotiating tool, it gets everybody to drop their tariffs, and why not? I
mean, and then you are right. You are absolutely right about that. We always have to make sure and filter what President Trump does through that lens that you just talked about, it because even Mexico has been talking about, no, we're not going to do a retaliatory. Right. And we have Canadian provinces that are saying, hey, you know, if we lighten up on American tariffs, would you be okay in lightening up on us? That's good, you know, right?
I think he's getting there. But I think your fear was that of a hero worship or dictator, and that's not President Trump. He loves this country. He loves the Constitution. He may be stretching the boundaries, but for God's sake, something has to be done. $36 trillion in debt. It's just everything's out of control. The bureaucracy is unconstitutional. 90% of what the federal government does should be the 10th Amendment to the states and the people.
Yeah. I think where I differ with President Trump most right now is the tendency to have many corporate grifters in his immediate circle. And Elon Musk is one of the biggest of them. And I know I love the fact that Elon Musk goes after and exposes the grit or the fraud and all that sort of stuff. That is a wonderful thing. What I am careful about is that all of a sudden we don't modify our corporate policies to benefit Elon Musk. We have to be careful of undue influence of anybody, even someone who is friendly to us, because I don't think Elon is necessarily friendly to the American people. He's friendly to whatever will help him make a buck as time goes on, as we all would be. Okay.
At the other side of that coin is, who would you rather have trying to help us right now? People who are success, who are brilliant, or people like Jake, who are the people that were around Biden that were.
Yeah. No, I get that. But see, there's a reason why the right wing folks like you and me didn't trust Elon Musk. In the Biden administration. There was a reason for it. We were right then. We're still right not to trust him, because you got to remember, he's been very successful, but he has been successful leveraging government tax breaks targeted to his company. Okay?
Absolutely. It's like President Trump told Hillary Clinton in the debate, you know, I'm no fool. You wrote the tax laws. I'm just going to take advantage of them.
Exactly. That sort of thing. That's all I'm getting at there. Doug, I appreciate the call. Thanks for making it. 770-5633. Shade before 8 o'clock. Let me go to next line here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Good morning. Hi.
Yeah, this is Brian Weldon.
Brian, what's going on?
Yeah, I was at the meeting last night with Holly, and the one thing I wanted to tell you that most people don't know about is U Turn for Christ is they have jobs that they make their members get involved in. I have a neighbor, her husband died, and she hired U Turn for Christ. They came out with six guys and two or three trailers or trucks, and they cleaned 3 acres of blackberry bushes along the river and charged her $200.
In other words, you're getting people not only off the drugs, but they're getting into doing something productive, finding purpose again. And it's something that we all need, right?
Yes. They have a painting crew that comes out and paints your house. They have carpenters that build fences. You're made to work, and that's part of this recovery program. We see these homeless guys, these junkies laying around in the gazebos at our parks, and, they have a pile of SNAP cards in their hand, which they're getting $400 a month on each one of those cards. Who would ever want to work? The handouts, the enabling is so outrageous that these people never want to work. Well, U Turn for Christ has a whole different program, and it works.
I'm glad to hear that. Thanks for fleshing that out, Brian. Yeah, there is that. Remember, there was someone who wrote me an email yesterday. There was that famous quote, I think it was from Dale, who sent that to me, that there is that fine line between compassion and enabling. And we need to get over on the side of not enabling, for sure. Good morning. This is Bill. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Bill. It's Wild Salmon.
Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Hey, on this tariff thing, a lot of the things that are done are not really tariffs. They're just barriers. Back when I was in the wood products industry, the Canadians would basically give logs to the mills and to their mills, would not let us bid on them, the United States mills. And
that was their way of subsidizing the timber industry for them, right? That's how they did it.
And they're still doing it. Yeah, they're still doing that. So that's a non-tariff barrier. So that's one of the things that they're going to have to fight over. The other thing I wanted to tell you is there's a real solution to the non-stick frying pan thing.
What's that?
Cast iron. Cast iron skillets are wonderful. You have to learn how to use them.
Yeah. And we do. I've used them. I got to tell you, it's not nearly as convenient as the Teflon skillet, though, I must say.
Well, you can learn, when you get done cooking something, that's going to go for dinner that's been in a cast iron skillet, it's hot. If you put the chicken cacciatore or whatever you made on a plate and serve it, you just put some water back in the cast iron skillet, and it will just basically clean itself. You just have to... There's just a way you have to use it.
So the anti-PIFA thing will be a make cast iron great again, in other words, right?
I would say I've got a cast iron griddle that came over on the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, and you have plenty of iron in your diet, too. seriously, there is some iron nutritional iron that will get into the food, so that's okay, as long as it's not too much. That's all. All right, Steve, thanks for calling. We'll have some more of this. Talking Tariffs, Ken Raposa will join me here. They'll be after the Kim Komando Digital Update and Town Hall News. And that's next on KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.
You're worried because your home has been on the market with no success. An expired listing can be frustrating, but it doesn't have to be the end of your journey. Hey, it's Lars. What you need is the right real estate agent. And in the Medford area, that would be only my friend.